So our scripture this morning is from Galatians 3, and while you're turning there, there are some outlines. If you'd like to follow on an outline, there should be some in the back anyway. If there's some left there, you can grab one a moment. And also, in case you came in a little late on this colder morning, we are having a potluck after the morning sermon or service, so you're invited to stay that if you can. Stay for that. Now, last week in Galatians, we talked about the verses right before 26, and we talked about 3 points, just kind of a reminder of last week. Last week, we learned in Galatians that, first of all, the law of God doesn't contradict the promise of God. We learned that the law of God detains, and we learned that the law of God disciplines. Right. So basically what we learned last week is that God's law kind of entraps us and shows us our sin and leads us to Christ in that way to show us the need for a redeemer in Jesus. So this morning we're going to pick up that thought as well. Turn to Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. And this is God's holy word. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. God's word. A lot of people have different wishes and wants, right? All of us here probably have a whole bunch of different wants and desires. For example, maybe a whole bunch of you have a desire for spring on a morning like this, but maybe some of you want a blizzard. Some of you might have a desire in your life for peace and quiet finally, but others of you here probably have a desire for excitement. Some of you maybe have a desire for a good, hard physical challenge. Others of you would rather or have a desire to relax, right? And the list goes on and on. We all have different, you know, desires and wishes. But as humans, there are some desires and wishes that almost all humans share, young and old, male and female, right? For example, most humans have a desire to be part of a good, solid family, loved in a family. Most humans have a desire for identity. They want to have an identity. Most people have a desire for a good friendship and relationship. And almost everyone has a desire for a good future. Okay, so a desire for family, identity, friendship, and a good future. Those are common desires. And now the sad thing is a lot of people try to get those desires in bad and wrong ways. Or maybe false versions of those things. So next time you are listening to music on the radio or watching a TV show or a movie or reading a best-selling book, look for that. The desire for family, identity, friendship, and good future. People want these things, but they go about the wrong way getting them. So we're going to talk about these things this morning in our sermon. Right? We're going to look at these main themes in Galatians 3, and we'll also talk about those four desires that everyone has. So the main theme of the sermon this morning is this. By faith, you are all sons of God, united to Christ, all one in Christ, and heirs through Christ. Okay, so by faith in Jesus, not by works, not by obeying the law or being circumcised, but by faith in Jesus, you're sons of God, first, we'll talk about. You're united to Christ, secondly. Thirdly, you're one in Christ. And again, finally, we'll talk about being heirs of Christ or through Christ. So let's talk about these things that Paul speaks of in Galatians. Now, first of all, in verse 26, it's very clear, right? For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Or in Jesus Christ, you are all sons of God through faith. Remember, Paul said earlier, you're not under a guardian or a pedagogue anymore. You're not under the law of Moses anymore because you believe in Jesus. Now you're in Christ. Now, Paul uses that important word, sons, there. Sons of God. Now, by the way, when Paul says sons of God, he's not saying no girls allowed. He's not saying this is just for men, right? Males. He's not degrading women when he uses the term sons here. So if you have a translation and it says sons and daughters, that's a fine translation. That's okay. But you have to understand that the term son does have a lot of meaning here. Okay, for example, in Paul's day, a son would get the inheritance, whereas the daughter wouldn't. And if you think about the Old Testament, in Exodus, remember when Israel was in bondage to Pharaoh? God said, Israel is my firstborn son. And God said to Pharaoh, let my son go. So there's some meaning here to this term son or sons. So when Paul says you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, he means that whoever believes in Jesus shares the privileges of being a son of God. All of the privileges. Whether you're male or female, Jew or Gentile, whoever believes in Jesus has all the blessings that a son has. You have a right, a legal right to all of the good things that a son would get. So Paul's not degrading women here. He's just saying, look, if you believe in Jesus, you have God's blessings of being his son. Now, you might have the question, well, you know, we said in the Apostles' Creed, wasn't Jesus the only son of God? Is the creed wrong here or what's going on? Well, when we say that Jesus is the son of God, like Paul confessed in 2 verse 20, remember he said, the son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Jesus is God's only true and natural son. But what Paul is talking about here is adoption, being adopted into God's family. And we'll talk more about that in chapter 4. Right away in chapter 4, verse 5, Paul talks about adoption. We're not going to go through all the details this morning. We'll do that maybe next week. But Paul's talking about adoption here, like John does in John 1. To all who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you believe in Jesus, you have the right to be called a child of God. So think in terms of Galatians here. We are justified or declared righteous by God only by faith, not because of works or merit or the performance that we've done, but only by faith. And Paul says you're adopted only by faith. We're not adopted into God's family because we obeyed him a lot or because we tried really hard and gave it a lot of effort. We are sons of God through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And it's by God's grace alone, not by works. Now, there's a lot of times, maybe you've even had it in your own life or you've seen it, where you know somebody, or maybe it's been you, who really wants to fit in a family. We know kids, or maybe when you were a kid, you just wanted your parents' approval. So you did everything you could to get your dad's approval or your mom's approval. You were doing something to try to get their approval. Or some people wish so badly that they had a good, close family, right? They desire a close family. Maybe you grew up in a bad family and now you want a strong family so much that you cry about it sometimes. Those are natural human feelings. And sometimes we want to do something to be part of a family, or we desire to be in a family. But the good news is, to be in God's family, to be a son of God, a child of God, you don't become a child of God by doing or by desiring, but by trusting in Jesus. By God's grace, he adopts you in Christ. Like Philip Ryken said, there's no higher status a person can ever achieve than to be called a child of the Most High God. Now, everybody needs a family, right? You can't live well without a family. You can't live well familyless. And that's why the themes of books and movies and TV shows, the whole theme is about somebody trying to find their family. But in Christianity, you have one. And this Christian family shares a bond tighter than a regular family. Because in Christianity, God is our Father. In Christianity, Jesus is our Savior, and we share the same Holy Spirit and the same faith. So if you long for a good family, and if you're trying to do something to be in a good family, well, go to Christianity, where you don't have to do anything but believe in Jesus. And, you know, as a church, too, this speaks to us about a family, right? We want to be this kind of a family, where we are sons of God through faith in Jesus, whether we're single or married, old or young, children of God. So that's the first part. You're sons of God through faith in Jesus. That's verse 26. Now, the second part, actually, you have to go to all the verses to talk about this one. But secondly, you're united to Jesus by faith, united to Christ by faith. Okay, so in verse 26, Paul says, in Christ Jesus. In verse 27, he talks about being baptized into Christ Jesus. In verse 28, he talks about being one in Christ. And in verse 29, he says, you are Christ. You belong to Jesus. So in Christ here, what Paul's talking about is union with Jesus. Now, that's a tough concept. I know it's even hard to explain. But being in Christ means being joined to him, one with him, to be owned by him. And one thing that Paul uses in verse 27 to talk about union is you have been baptized into Christ. Right. Just maybe Paul is talking here about when the Galatians became Christians, right, in Acts 16, 17 and 18, where they first believed in Jesus and they were baptized, no doubt in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Paul's reminding of them of this. When you believe, you were baptized in Christ. Or maybe Romans 6 is in mind here. All of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. So just from this phrase, we can't get a whole theology of baptism. That's not what we're going to do this morning. Paul's not giving us the details. But Paul's just giving a general reminder. Your baptism closely identifies you with Jesus. Like James Montgomery Boyce said, baptism is an outward sign of the union that we have with Christ by faith. Okay, so our baptism, Christian baptism, is a sign of the union we have with Christ by faith. So Paul talks about being baptized, united to Christ. That's the baptism is the sign. But then also in verse 27, there's a metaphor for being united to Christ. He says in the end, you have put on Christ. Now that term put on is just a term where you'd put on clothes. Right? You'd put on socks in the morning, or you put on a coat, or you should put on a coat in weather like this. It's clothing language. Now, Luther says here, this means put on the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, peace, consolation, salvation, life, and Christ himself. So when we put on Christ, essentially we're putting on all of Jesus' blessings. Forgiveness and love and peace. You wrap yourself up in the benefits of Christ. And it also probably means character. Because, for example, in Romans 13, Paul says, clothe yourself with Christ. And don't think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Right? So there's a metaphor here. It means you put on the blessings of Christ and you be like Christ. Maybe an illustration will help. When a policeman or a military person puts on their uniform for the first time, it means a lot. Right? It means, first of all, that you made it through police academy or military training when you put it on, or you're in training. And it also means you're a professional. It means you're to protect people and stop crime and the bad guys. And when you put on a uniform, it means you have privileges of a policeman or a military person. And it also means you need to act like that now. Right? So when you put on a uniform for the first time, it means so much. That's what Paul's talking about here. You put on Christ. You're united to him. Baptism is a sign and clothing is a metaphor for union with Christ. So do you ever struggle with identity? That's a question to ask here. Do you ever wonder, who am I? Do you struggle with your looks and identity? Or your weight and your identity? Or your popularity and your identity? People struggle with it. If you struggle with those things, you're not alone, for sure. I was listening to an interview this past week, I think it was on NPR, where the person was interviewing a paramedic who had been a paramedic, I think, for 10 years. And the guy couldn't be a paramedic anymore because it was too mundane for him. He said he was in the middle of this terrible accident trying to help somebody, and he yawned. And he realized he needed to change jobs because it was too mundane for him, and he wasn't going to help somebody at one point. So the interviewer asked this guy, he said, when you change jobs, you change identities. Was it hard for you to change identities? The man said yes, and he explained. The point is, you see, people today think that identity is something that you get for yourself, that you discover, or that you make up, that you want and are not content with, maybe. But you see, in Christianity, you have an identity that's greater than anything you could make.
in Christ. Belong to Jesus.
And you know, the cool thing here is that you didn't choose this identity. It chose you, so to speak. And so it's not subjective and changing. If you create your own identity, it'll change. Oh, I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to look like this. But if you have an identity in Christ, it's solid. You're His. You belong to Jesus. So if you struggle with identity, I would just really encourage you to try to find your identity only in Christ. You won't find real identity outside of Him. And the great thing here is that when you're in Christ, you don't have to keep trying to prove yourself to other people. That's what a lot of people's identity is wrapped up in. What do they think of me, my looks, my body, my popularity, my money? But when you're in Christ, you don't have to prove yourself to others. You don't have to worry so much what other people think about you. Because the truth is that Jesus doesn't accept you because you look nice, have an ideal body weight, or because you're popular, but because He loves you. He gave His life for you. And this also is a freeing way to live in Christ and find your identity in Jesus. Because then you're not slaves to everyone else's opinion of you or your own opinion of yourself. But you belong to Jesus. And that's your identity. And that's a solid one and a good one. So that was the second point. By faith, you are united to Christ. That's your identity. Now, thirdly, the next thing that Paul says here is, by faith, you are all one in Christ. And this is verse 28. You are all one in Christ. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So Paul is breaking down the barriers of Christianity here. Or a better way to put that is that Jesus broke down the barriers when He died on the cross. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, a slave or a non-slave, a male or a female. If you trust in Jesus, you're all one. Now, by the way, this would go against the grain of a lot of the Jewish opponents that Paul is speaking against in Galatians. Remember those, we call them the Judaizers, who say you need to be circumcised to be accepted by God and go to Moses' law? Because a lot of these hyper-Jewish people would think that they were better than others. Actually, there's a prayer in Judaism from some years after Paul, but it kind of encapsulates the super-Jewish attitude. It's this: I thank you, God, that I wasn't made a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. That was their prayer. And maybe even Paul thought along those lines before he was converted. But, you know, this also goes against the grain or went against the grain of a lot of other non-Jewish people. For example, Socrates, a Greek philosopher from before Christ, said he was glad he wasn't a Greek or a barbarian or a woman, or a Greek and not a barbarian. And he was glad that he wasn't a woman. And some people still think this way today. I thank you that I'm not this or that way. But Paul says, when you trust in Christ, in the Christian faith, we don't have a class distinction, we don't have race separation, and we don't have a gender rank. So we could paraphrase. There's no Asian or Caucasian. There's no blue or white collar. There's no rich or poor. There's no single nor married. You're all one in Christ. Why is this so? Well, because your faith unites you to Jesus, and you're in His family. And so, in the Christian faith, it's not like some Christians are more justified than other Christians. It's not like some Christians are more adopted than other Christians. But God welcomes all of His people, justifies and adopts them all equally because of faith in Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that the Jews would stop being Jews, that their DNA would change. That's not right. And it doesn't mean that men would stop being men and women would stop being women, and there's, you know, like some